Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Life with Olives podcast. I'm your host, Olives, and the date is April 16th, 2022. I add the date in there because this podcast episode is actually a assignment that I have to do, a final project, if you will, for my gender studies class. It is worth 85 points, and I honestly may have to go back and edit this audio. Anyway, we'll have to see what happens. Alrighty, so welcome back to the show. Today we're going to be talking about gender inequality. This is an important topic to me because I don't know if you've watched my YouTube channel. Please tell me you haven't. It's very terrifying. I am a middle-class white woman living in a very Christian community. However, I am not myself a Christian. I consider myself more of a pagan, I guess. I love weird earth stuff. I love being, you know, in nature, and I have deities that I may or may not, you know, worship depending on the day. And I just, you know, you have to be careful with these sort of things. But as it is Easter weekend, it's always kind of an interesting time to observe the people in the community around you and how they act, and especially when they're very Christian holidays, which, by the way, were stolen from pagan tradition, come around. But this is not about how Christianity enveloped and pretty much altered everything it came into contact with since the beginning of its creation. No, this is about gender inequality, specifically toward women and minorities. Now, I can only speak from the perspective of what I am, which is, as I said, a white female. But as a white female, I have noticed some difficult things going on in the society and in the world around me. For example, growing up in a very Christian, and I live in Utah, so the demographic for Utah is very, very, very Christian, mostly LDS. For those of you who may not know, LDS is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm so sorry. I grew up in this church. I was raised in this church. My family way back was, you know, it was LDS. My ancestors came across the plains in covered wagons and handcarts, as I learned recently from doing a folk art project on quilting. And it has been a very interesting experience to be an ex-Mormon, now kind of a pagan type person, living in such a very Christian community, to kind of see how things are different and the way that different religions will treat women and minorities. For example, not many people know, but people of color, specifically black men in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, were not allowed to what they call pass the sacrament, which is where you take the water and the bread, which, you know, symbolizes the blood of Christ and the body of Christ, and you partake of this and you kind of sanctify your body every week and on Sundays at church. But up until, I think it was the 1970s, black men were not allowed to hold the priesthood, which is, you know, the ability to bless things. And it's sort of this very male patriarchal, it's not like a power bestowed upon them. Every young man holds the priesthood, but it's perhaps amplified by your age and your position in the church. Is you get the Aaronic priesthood at a certain age, and then once you become higher up in the ranks of authority in the church as a man, of course, then you are given the Melchizedek priesthood, and then you can hold higher positions and do more things. However, women are never given any of these particular rights, gifts, powers, abilities, positions. They believe the highest in like an individual church that, then I'm probably wrong. I honestly haven't been to a church since I was 18, seriously. Unless my parents dragged me there because I was visiting on a Sunday afternoon. Women are not really allowed to hold positions of power over other people in the church as an authority figure. You can be the head of the Relief Society, which is like the all of the women, or you can be in charge of the young girls. Excuse me. But you are never really allowed to, you are not allowed to be a bishop, which is kind of the man who is in charge of that particular church at that particular time of day. Because LDS people, starting at like 9 a.m., I think, 9, and then at 11 o'clock, and then at 1, maybe 2, I don't know. That's they're meeting at the church all throughout the day, different wards, as they're called. And in this particular religion. So But it was always interesting to me because I was a very young... as a child, I was very derpy and silly, and I had high aspirations with no understanding of how the world actually worked. And I remember one day saying to my mom and saying, hey, you know, how old do I have to be a bishop? Like, what can I do to be a bishop? And she would stare at me and be like, oh, sweetie, you will never be a bishop. The woman who would never told me I couldn't do anything in my life, who always encouraged me to reach for the stars and be my best. She never said that I couldn't do anything. This one time she was like, oh, you know, you're a girl. Girls don't get to be the bishop. Girls get to be moms and take care of the kids. Well, as someone who was bullied a lot as a kid, I never wanted kids of my own because then I was positive that they would just bully me, and I didn't want to enjoy that or take part in any of that. So I was definitely more like, no, thank you. Kids are not for me, and I would just rather do my own thing. And at 30, I still feel that way. However, my husband doesn't agree. Another male to female issue, I feel like. Anyway, but that's not the point. The point is in that during Easter weekend, it is kind of thrown into more of a light. For me especially, the differences between the expectations of men and women in our society. For example, another personal example of mine, when I went to college way back in the day, this is my second run, but when I started at college in 2009, when I was 18, fresh out of high school, fresh, I couldn't wait to get away from my parents, begin my life journey and, you know, have adventures and make friends and meet boys and girls and do whatever and date whoever. And I was so excited and I couldn't wait. And when I got out of the car and my mom and my dad went to leave my dorm room, my mother said to me, now, Olivia, you are here to get an education. However, you're also here to find a husband. So your education comes second to finding a husband. My mother said that to me. And I just went, sure, mom. it was never for me. Having, you know, trying to, boys were never the focus of my existence. Even now, boys, I'm married now. I've been married for almost 6 months and my husband is still not the focus of my existence. I know that sounds bad, but honestly, at this point in my life, at this point in the economy, at this point in the political spectrum and all of that nonsense, my biggest concern is taking care of me and getting me and my dog into a safe place so that we can, you know, flourish and do well and be great. And my focus has never been to be, you know, the perfect wife or the perfect whatever. Like, the problem is that you watch women being held down and told that they're less all their lives. And there are statistics everywhere to prove this. Like, for example, in my sociology class, we learned recently that the gender equality, especially in the workplace, and the pay gap that my husband doesn't think exists, absolutely does. I had to show him the statistics in my textbook. I said, look, for every dollar a man makes, a woman makes 84 cents. And it's not to do with the fact that, oh, well, she just should have worked harder. It has nothing to do with that and everything to do with the fact that women are not valued as highly in our society, even though in the Gendered Voices Feminist Visions book that we read for gender studies, literally multiple occasions it says that women work twice to sometimes three times as hard as men and are unpaid because it's taking care of the children, taking care of the house, providing emotional love and support, which is technically classified as work. But because we are women and we are softer and less, you know, masculine and intense, supposedly, we are expected to kind of just be nice and soft and give you everything that we are and then not be compensated for it. Another personal example, my husband and I argue sometimes, as all couples do, I'm sure. I become very stressed and very irate when we use all of our dishes and then he just puts them in the sink and doesn't wash them because we don't have a dishwasher. We do everything by hand, which, yes, is very obnoxious. However, we get into several arguments when I finally get tired of waiting for him to do it or to help me with it. I just do them myself, and then I get a little bit cranky, as I, you know, watched my mother do with my father my whole life growing up. And literally, he says to me, if you want my help with the dishes, you need to ask me. I can't read your mind. Tell me what you want. Now, gentlemen, should you be listening to this, which I doubt because the majority of my listener base is female, about 94%, I feel like. For the record, any man who's ever said this to his wife, please think about this. This came up in my textbook as well. Gendered Voices, Feminist Visions by Susan M. Shaw and Janet Lee, 7th edition. Saying to someone that they should ask for help or asking if they need help implies that the dishes or the task that you are asking them to ask for help on, if that made sense, is their responsibility in the first place. Let me reiterate this just in case I wasn't clear. When you say to your wife, girlfriend, mother, whoever, father, brother, significant other, partner, if you will, when you say to them, do you need help? It implies that you think that the task is their responsibility in the first place. Not that you are sharing the workload by helping them, which, by the way, if you dirty the dishes, help the other person clean the dishes. That's just baseline. Sorry, this is not my marriage counseling podcast. But genuinely, he and I get into big arguments about this because he doesn't believe that that implies that it's my duty to start with. Even though it's irritating me, it irritates both of us. I'm just the only one who actually puts in any work to fix the problem. He will wash a dish that he needs. Man logic or whatever. But it's also bachelor logic. I feel like once you're married, I'm getting completely derailed. But only a little bit, because I feel like this also, because it's in the textbook, it applies. Women are taken for granted that we will just do the laundry, do the dishes, clean up, organize, be these perfect homemakers. And to the men's credit, to be fair, I've discovered and noticed a lot of women who enjoy like religion and other such institutions that kind of glorify being man and hold women down, either consciously or unconsciously, definitely just expect them to be housekeepers, wives, mothers, people that... I had a word for this. What is the word for when you take care of older people in your care? Caregivers? Women are just expected to have this caregiver role. And men are kind of just expected to kind of just like gruff off into the distance. And I had a whole line of thought with this and I've completely lost it. When I was young, I was raised in the church, as I said, and we had a lesson one day, I think in primary, I don't remember, but we had a lesson once that taught us that God has a wife. We were not allowed to know her name. So Jesus's mother, his heavenly mother, are all of our heavenly mother. She has a name, she exists, she is real, but we are not allowed to speak about her, know her name, talk about her, because she is too sacred. That's always rubbed me the wrong way. I don't think that's right, because that kind of minimizes a very important female presence in a religion that I feel like, or just yeah, Christianity is a religion. I mean, LDS is a specific church, but Christianity is a religion. And obviously there is obviously the debate on whether or not Mormons are Christians. I believe they are. Excuse me. I mean, Christ is in the name, so I'm pretty sure they're Christians. I didn't plan any of this. I really didn't script anything. I really just wanted to get my feelings out. Obviously, as a woman who's been kind of taken for granted, have been scared, as a female who trusted men, was kind of domestically abused on and off a couple of times in my lifetime, I am very non-confrontational. I don't like to raise my voice in anything other than like if I'm laughing or having a good time. I'm a very quiet person. I keep to myself because we've all been hurt. We're all a little The statistics on how many women will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime is way too high. The statistics on how many women will be, you know, stalked or not even sexually assaulted, just assaulted or, you know, fussed at. Like, I work in customer service, and if I'm having a problem with a customer, instead of getting another female manager, instead I, especially if it's a man yelling at me, sometimes if it's a woman, but oftentimes if it's a man yelling at me, if I grab another male manager to back me up, he will back off immediately. But if I grab another female manager to back me up on what I'm trying to tell people, or tell the angry customer, like if they can't have something they didn't pay for and they're yelling at me, getting another female manager will not work. He'll just argue louder and call us names and scream at us. However, if I get a male manager, my friend who was supposed to join me on this podcast, who unfortunately was too busy to join, he will back off immediately and he will treat him, my friend Chandler, his name is Chandler, he'll treat Chandler with respect and try, you know, to get to the bottom of it. And if it can't be resolved, then he'll leave Chandler alone. However, it's, I don't know if it's ingrained in the male psyche or if there's a mommy issue, I don't know. But I don't enjoy it. And I genuinely feel like anybody who says that there's not gender inequality or racial inequality, my husband also doesn't believe that white privilege is a thing. He's a white man. He's Irish. He's as white as you can possibly get. He's so white, he's pink. He doesn't understand that he will never have to worry about being pulled out of a car and shot by police if he gets pulled over. He'll never understand that, you know, as a white man in America, he will always have at least one leg, a foot, a hand, and an arm up on pretty much the rest of us, regardless of race or color. I mean, the statistics are truly terrifying. But you know, I genuinely have hope for the future. Not to end this podcast on like a dour, sad note, and we all will be ending a little bit sooner than I usually do, but I really didn't want to talk your ear off for too long, especially since this is an assignment, technically. But I wanted to kind of end on a happy note and say that I do have hope for the future. Every day we're raising strong young women, badass young women. Every day I feel like the world that I grew up in is diminishing a little bit more and more and going away, and the better parents than my parents are out there raising kids, especially with kind of the more, I'm not going to say advent because it's always been a thing, but kind of the more acceptance and widespread knowledge and people wanting to learn about the LGBTQIA community. There are so many more young people that, sorry, I keep breathing into the microphone. I'm so impassioned. There are so many more young people who are so brave and who are coming out and being themselves, who will not have to hide and damage themselves until they're adults and then have to go to therapy for years and years to reconcile with the damage they did to themselves. And I am so happy about that. I am so happy that we are raising our women, our young women, especially our daughters, our nieces, our nephews too, to accept their emotions, understand their emotions, and, you know, process them and try to, even though it is very difficult sometimes, try to express them honestly and with earnest to people that will genuinely care. And I'm so excited for the future because I truly feel like they, as silly as they are with their memes and their TikToks and their weird ways of speaking, literally my parents talking about me, I truly feel like they can do better than we did. I feel like they can close that gender gap. I feel like they can close that wage gap. I feel like they can break the glass ceiling for, you know, for women and minorities. I feel like the more progress we make, the more healing we do, and the more, you know, good, the more honest we are with each other and communicating and expressing ourselves in ways that are productive and not destructive, I feel like that's truly going to make all the difference. And I hope that regardless of my personal experiences, I hope that I've left you with this similar sense of hope. I myself don't have kids. I have dogs, but I do have friends who have kids, and they are breaking the cycle. Sorry. they saw the way that their parents raised them, and they didn't want that for their kids. So they are breaking the cycle. They are being as patient as they can, yelling less, parenting less with the television and more with time spent playing, taking an interest in their children's interests. And genuinely, I love that so much. And I really think that that's all kids need, is just parents to be there. And I am not a parent, so I really can't speak truth to power, but I see the future in these kids, and I have such hope. I have so much hope for the future, and I hope you do as well. Thank you for listening to the Life with Olives podcast today. Have a great rest of your Easter holiday, and hopefully we'll be back with more content soon, because this has been a wonderful experience for me. Thank you guys so much for listening. Take care. See you next time. Bye.